don't forget, we've got some great giveaways going on today. We still have to give away our Vancouver Whitecaps tickets. We still need a daily qualifier to win a $50 gift card to Sea Lovers Fish and Chips, but also that person's going to go in the draw for the grand prize. It's a $5,000 trip to celebrate Sea Lovers' 40th anniversary. That's also coming up, so don't go anywhere. There's lots of good stuff ahead. Right now, we're going to talk about how safe you feel. Like, do you feel safe walking around at night? I feel like that's a good barometer of public safety, and it is a huge issue these days. People want to feel safe in their communities, and that isn't always happening right now. And we hear and talk a lot about getting tough on crime, but is that the right approach? Or should we be talking about getting smart on crime? Because that's what the Canadian Centre for Safer Communities is suggesting with a new study that they have out. It's a different way of doing things. It's been tried elsewhere, like in Glasgow, Scotland. And so let's talk about doing things differently. Dr. Irvin Waller is a professor emeritus of criminology at the University of Ottawa and author of Science and Secrets of Ending Violent Crime, and joins us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning.
Do you think we need to do things differently?
Absolutely. If we want to actually reduce crime, if we want to reduce trauma and injuries and lost lives to crime and protect women and children, we need to get smart on crime. And the good news is that we have 50 years of knowledge of the sorts of things that will actually make people safer from crime. The bad news is that we're not doing the simple things to get that knowledge used.
Okay, what kind of simple things?
Well, they really fall into two baskets. The sorts of things that will reduce street violence are outreach workers who reach the young men in disadvantaged areas who are most involved in that violence. We need to get to those young men when they're injured, going into hospital emergency rooms. We need to help them control their anger, and there are other things. Those things have been shown to reduce street violence by something of the order of 50% over a three-year period. But the other part of the package, and the most important for British Columbia as it goes into an election, is that you need to have a senior official, like a minister, who is charged with actually reducing violent crime. And in simple terms, that's what Glasgow did in the 2000s. And that is now what the British government is doing. They are actually cloning what happened in Glasgow across local government in the UK. City of London, for instance, got a 25% reduction in robberies and injuries over a four-year period. And it, in my view, it will go down further. So Vancouver, Victoria, and particularly at the provincial level, that's what we need to do.
Okay, well, when you say a minister, isn't that like having a public safety minister? Because we already have that.
Yes, well, you have a public safety minister, but the public safety minister is almost totally focused on policing as opposed to actually tackling the risk factors. In Ontario in 2019, they actually changed the Police Act to call it a Community Safety and Police Act. And the section on community safety is great. The sad news is that they didn't really fund the folk at the city level who will do the planning to get these good things used. But we need a minister who really is interested in stopping people from becoming victims of crime. And a good title is it could be the Public Safety and Violence Reduction Minister or something like that. But you need a cabinet-level politician supported by a deputy minister with access to this knowledge, access to what has worked elsewhere, and shifting funding. I would like to see a 5%, investing each year the equivalent of 5% of what we currently pay in reaction to policing costs that have been rising steadily and to incarceration costs. And if we did that, we would see significantly fewer, you name it, homicides, robberies, auto thefts, and also we would see reductions in gender-based violence. We have to do some of the things that focus on gender-based violence, including programs in schools and universities. And we need to start tracking results in terms of fewer injuries, not just fewer police reports, but fewer injuries in hospitals. And all this is doable. The Brits are spending $350 million over the next 10 years to help people get to know those things at work. We should be doing that in Canada. And it's fascinating to watch the United States, that is traditionally only interested in more police and incredible levels of incarceration. Well, they've now appointed Kamala Harris as the head of an office for gun violence prevention. It's exactly what they need to do. And we need to do that in every province and in every major city.
I guess the problem here, Dr. Waller, is also what you're talking about, community-based prevention programs. That's a great idea. But won't they take years to see an effect on that? And that's hard to see. People want to see results now.
Well, yes, this is a very important question. If you're going to reduce poverty or trauma levels, that takes a long time, and you should be doing that. And governments are doing that within their means. But the smart word is not just about tackling those roots of violence. It's about tackling what are called technically risk factors. And these programs give you results that are frankly a lot quicker and much more cost effective than hiring more police. But you have to have the planners in place to plan at the city level and the provincial level and at the federal level. And if those planners are doing their job right, and the Canadian Centre for Safer Communities is there to help people, I would like to see universities actually doing courses on safer community planning. And if you have a good plan and you actually look at the knowledge we have, which is what my big book was about, was actually explaining these actions that have been effective to policymakers, you will get significant reductions in violence and therefore less trauma, less injuries, less deaths, less violence against women. And you will also ultimately save on policing because you don't need the same number of people to respond. And you will begin to empty prisons as we see in other countries like the Netherlands and even in the US.
That sounds pretty good, actually. Dr. Waller, listen, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for your interest.
That's Dr. Irvin Waller, Professor Emeritus of Criminology at the University of Ottawa, author of Science and Secrets of Ending Violent Crime. And they say it's all about investing heavily in community-based prevention programs. I feel like we know this, but we have not yet done that. We haven't made that investment there. We've talked about that with the gang situation for a long time, haven't we?
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.